Gateway Buick GMC has the hottest sale of the summer going on now. Take over $13,000 off the GMC Sierra. In the market for a Buick Enclave, Gateway has you covered with premiums over $11,000 off MSRP price. The all-new 2017 Acadia now on the showroom floor, alongside the luxurious Buick Envision. Shop online at stlouisbuickgmc.com or in person off I-270 and McDonald Boulevard. Gateway, the right way.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Sky high.
You're quite a vocalist, Tim.
Yeah, I feel like I can warble. Mm-hmm. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After.
How come you aren't the lead singer in some band?
A boy band.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I should do that or not. I guess I can do it.
We've talked before about putting together a band here with everyone at the station here.
Yeah.
Touring a little bit. Any of you guys play an instrument?
I played the trumpet, baby. You played the licorice stick.
Yeah, I did.
I played the piano a little bit back in the day.
All right.
Sounds like we got a band.
I don't know any of it now, though.
Plowhawk, I could see you playing the bass.
I played a little trumpet and piano.
We have a nice brass section.
What kind of sound that would be with a couple of trumpets, clarinet, and the drums.
I have a guitar.
Not the typical band that goes on the road.
I don't know how to play it, but I have one.
Yeah. I guess we could just act like we're playing it, have the music, and we'll sing.
Shout out Rihanna's VMA performance. Yeah.
And also Milli Vanilli.
Milli Vanilli had some success.
Did you see the VMAs, Chuckles?
Robin Fab. I did not.
Like, Rihanna was singing, and then she'd just start dancing and take the microphone away, and the music would sound the exact same, and the lyrics would. And I'm just like, I guess I'm not even really trying to act like there's a lip sync going on.
Sometimes I
What's
think
up, Rihanna?
Sometimes I think they are required by trademark laws to play the song exactly as it sounds as it's being released. That it has to sound just like it does.
I'm surprised the VMAs are still a thing. Only because, and maybe it's because I'm older, I don't ever watch MTV anymore. But back in the day I did, and when TRL was very popular, I feel like the VMAs, it was a cool event. They always had things going on, like Britney Spears and Madonna kissing, and there was faux controversy, but I haven't heard anything about MTV in the last 10 years.
Mm-mm.
I don't know any shows that are on. Are they doing The Real World still?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
I liked watching those shows.
There's so much on TV now that if it's not really good, you're probably not going to see much of it.
Boy, Anna Marie was watching that damn Bachelor in Paradise. Are you watching that?
No. Is that any good?
I can't watch it.
I just wanted
to watch.
Episode.
We have a few more episodes left of Orange is the New Black. I'm really hoping for a tribbing scene. Haven't seen one yet. Fingers crossed.
These are prison gals.
Yeah. It's kind of gross, though, a lot. You know? Like, if you're like, I think they intentionally, like, sabotage any of the potential lesbianism titillation. And it kind of, like, ruins it.
So what are they going for? Just big old gals mad at each other?
There are a few of those.
Stabbing each other with forks?
Yeah.
You're about to be ready for a hot library trip sesh.
Wow.
Next episode or two, Tim.
Wow.
Just letting you know, buddy. I won't tell you the couple because that would ruin the surprise.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, that's why I wanted to. I was just so exhausted last night. Ugh. I mean, I'm on the phone until like 9:30. It's just a whole thing. That's what it is. Charlie, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I want you to know that. So when it happens, you're ready to take over.
That's not good, though.
It's miserable.
Deep breaths.
No, it's not that. I mean, I've been doing this for so long. I'm just tired of it. I just want to do the show. So, Doug, if you want to run the whole thing, please.
Run the whole thing. Okay.
But anyway, I'm just exhausted. I said, hey, do you want to watch Orange is the New Black? So I'm counting on a tripping scene, and that would probably put me in a good spot mentally. As a matter of fact, I know it would, assuming it's not, you know, one of a handful of the potential cast members. And Anna Marie's watching that damn Bachelor in Paradise. I can't watch it. Can't watch.
Well, why not? These are some of our favorite bachelors and bachelorettes from the real show, right?
I'm telling you, I can't watch that damn show.
Everybody crying?
I don't know. She's watching it in one of the, you know, and I'm just like, all right, then I'm going to go in the bedroom. I'm gonna shut her down for the night. I was in bed by 10 o'clock, which is great.
I watched the first episode with Chad, and then it seemed like Chad got kicked off, but then maybe they were going to bring him back to apologize. So I never saw anything past that. But to me, Chad is must-see television. And then once he's off any of these shows, I just can't watch anymore. Like, I thought when he was on The Bachelorette, it was the most entertaining I've ever seen of that program.
But it's so, to me, it's so obvious that it's fake that I can't buy in. And that's the thing. It's like if I get worked up about the WWE.
Well, I don't get worked up about
not
it.
Not you getting worked up. I'm not saying that. You know, like Larry's enjoyment of professional wrestling, because he still, despite all of the evidence we have given him, mm-hmm. believes that it is real. I understand it at that point. I don't understand how he still thinks it's real, but he does, and God bless him, then I would understand. But this Bachelor in Paradise, it's so blatantly obvious that it's fake that I can't handle it.
I mean, why do you think it's fake? Because I'm wondering, like with Chad, I think he actually got so drunk that first time that he literally was just acting like a maniac.
I think that they know what's going to get them attention, and then therefore promotional appearances to generate some stream of revenue for the year or two while it's quote-unquote relevant, and so they have to act as asinine as possible. And so that's what I'm saying by that. And then, of course, the editing, you know, portrays things that aren't what they really were. And they were doing that on MTV's The Real World, since you brought that up. They happened to have, like, the one in San Francisco with the late, great Pedro Zamora.
Pedro.
Right. And I noticed some of the editing on that. I'm like, oh, that's the same stuff they're using on, like, The Bachelor now, you know, where somebody says something, but then they get a tight shot reaction that, you know, was not the real reaction at the time, but whatever. It tells the story and manipulates the... Anyway, all I want to do is watch Tribbing in a library. That's what I want to watch. I don't want to watch Lace boozed up. I saw that at Billy G's. It was fine, but I don't need to relive it. So anyway, Doug, it's a whole thing.
Okay. I've not seen one episode of that.
Yeah, I don't think you're missing anything, baby.
Okay.
I said to Anna Marie last night, I said, is it over yet? Nope, still going on. Ugh. I thought it'd be over by now.
They draw those things out. Every week, a new person comes to the island.
And it's like the
Doug.
Top trending thing on Twitter, so people are enjoying it. I just can't watch.
And everybody who's new is someone who has been on the Bachelor or Bachelorette.
It's like being at a crappy club on Washington Avenue in the late 2009 with people can't handle their liquor. That's what it is. And I didn't like being there, and I certainly don't want to watch it on television. Like, oh, I got new MySpace friends. Not interested. That's where I am on it. But I tell you this, Martin Kilcoyne's going to be in studio on our Tease Farms Captain's Log. And that is something I can look forward to, Doug. And this is just like Robert De Niro and Al Pacino in Heat. The two of you have never been in the same scene. It's unbelievable.
I don't think I've ever been on the radio with Martin.
I'll have to introduce you to him.
No, I know him. I've known him. Gosh, I've known him for years.
Yeah? What do you think of him?
He's a nice fellow.
Do you feel like the show was better when he was on it or
Probably.
Afterwards?
No, it's better when he was on
it. So what was the only difference in the show?
Because I wasn't on it.
So the show was better with him?
Yes.
So you're worse?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
Well, wasn't that what you wanted me to say? Wasn't that what you were going for?
I would like to see some self-confidence in
Amen.
You. No. No, see, when he was on the show, I didn't have to get up at 5 in the morning.
But
so
you
there was that.
You get to experience radio brilliance.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, the show was fine when he was on it. Absolutely, yeah.
Would you ever wake up just to listen?
No. Mm. No.
Do you even like any part of the
show? No, not really.
Why do you do it?
That's the best question you've asked so far today.
Shut up, Charlie.
Thank you.
I would hear it sometimes taking kids to school.
Would you ever have to change the station because a topic was a little too tawdry for your children's ears?
I don't remember doing that, no.
Did John Vaughn ever laugh or snicker at something that he shouldn't have?
I don't think so. I think when they were in the car, we were probably listening to music that they wanted to listen to. And then when they'd get out, I'd hit Howard Stern or the Morning Grind, or what was it called then? That point?
Morning Grind.
Yeah.
And you thought to yourself, man, one day if Martin left...
I didn't think a lot about any of it,
Chuck. I could be the third cog.
Do you think a lot about it when you're just listening to the radio driving down the street?
I could be the
punching
third...
around stations, do you think, geez, if I was only on that... No!
I could be the third wheel in that tricycle.
Nice, Charlie.
No, I was just driving and just listening for a few minutes at a time.
Were you nervous when you first came on?
No.
I was.
Did you feel like you had big shoes to fill?
Well, sure, yeah, that, yeah.
What's the first question you're going to ask Martin?
I don't know, Charlie. What's the first question you will ask Martin?
I say, hey, boss.
Okay, that's not much of a question.
How's your day? How's your day?
Okay, that's better. I think it's kind of neat what he's doing with this Ram story thing.
And it's for charity.
What charity is it, John?
Well, I believe it's on the paper here.
Okay, I don't have my paper here.
You go to eventbrite.com. It's for some charity, which Martin will tell us about. I know it's for a charity. I just can't remember which one.
Well, that'll be a question we can throw at him.
That'll be question number two.
All right.
Okay. What's question number one? How you doing, boss?
Who's big for you?
Okay.
Then we'll say, what do you think of the Cardinals?
We'll have to get his thoughts on Vin Scully talking about the Beatles at Dodger Stadium. Take a listen.
Hit the lever, please, Blousy.
They had a Lincoln Continental that was waiting to get them out of the ballpark and on the way to wherever they wanted to go. Ground ball to the right side, going back to smother it is Zobrist, and he can't do it. Ball gets away from him, and Segedin is aboard. So the idea was the car with the Beatles would exit the ballpark and clear out. But the fans, there must have been 10,000 kids waiting beyond the pavilion, and they were frenzied. The car was stuck in a virtual sea of humanity. So they moved the car with the Beatles back out onto the field and went all the way back to the Dodger dugout. The Beatles jumped out and went back to the Dodger clubhouse trying to figure out a plan of escape. That's ball one to Grandall. So a new plan was devised. They'd use the armored car to depart as they used to arrive. But someone had let the air out of the tires during the show, and the car couldn't really work. And they got an ambulance. Again, something went wrong. The driver had navigated through the fans, hit the gas, and the ambulance ran over a speed bump. And would you believe the radiator fell out of the ambulance? I mean, can you imagine the Beatles stranded in Dodger Stadium? Here's the 2-1 pitch to Yasmani Grandal. Fastball, foul back. But suddenly, the Beatles caught a break. From out of nowhere, the Hell's Angels showed up, encircled the armored car, led the Beatles out of the parking lot and on out into the night.
Like, there it was.
The Hell's Angels saved the Beatles. Someone left the air out of the tires of the armored car.
Look what's happening here. For the first time, it's
unbelievable.
Like Al Pacino and Robert De Niro in the same scene in Heat, Charlie. That's what that's
I haven't
that's
seen the movie, but I'm sure it's a great scene.
Martin Kilcoin is in the Gateway Buick GMC studios. Martin, hello.
This is really weird. I was just at Taco Bell eating breakfast, and I realized you guys are right next door.
Right next door, right between the Jack and the Box.
Have Jack in the Box.
Pretty nice.
Yeah,
pretty
it's
nice.
Radio Central.
That's right.
I've been kind of wondering, where is Radio Central?
You are in the midst
of it.
This is it.
You know, driving down, that Tom Ackerman sounds awfully happy, and you guys sound miserable.
Yeah. Doug does.
Yeah, Bernie's angry. Ackerman's happy, and you guys are miserable.
Now, what's Bernie upset about?
Some numbers. I don't know. What do you? I think Doug and I have been on before. I think at 1380, didn't we?
You guys did a show
segment,
together?
Or did we just pass by in the hallway?
Yeah, maybe. I think there was a segment.
Maybe the Papa Shot machine.
A handoff segment.
It seems like that.
Maybe down at the Showmies? Mm. Maybe hanging out there?
Is that still open?
Should be.
Is the landing still open?
I think so. The cobbles.
Boy, that 40's terrible.
Isn't it the worst?
And it doesn't make any sense. You get to Big Bend, which is not such a big bend, and it opens up.
Right.
It makes no sense. I thought they were all coming here.
To watch the show, to watch your appearance.
Can you use 44? No, that's God's highway.
No, I don't really get over that way.
All right, sorry. Too far south? You're a central corridor guy, aren't you?
I'm central corridor. I don't go west to 270.
Nice, same here. Good for you.
But I wanted to congratulate Doug. This is exciting.
On what?
No, I understand. So you're getting into political talk. You're switching. You're going to 1780.
Different situation.
That's not Doug.
That's a different situation. Okay. We do have James Carville on at 9 o'clock, though, if you want to stick around.
You guys are venturing into news talk.
We are. Mm-hmm.
This is exciting for you. So do I get a pair of boots for being here? Is that how it works?
Thursday that starts. Okay. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of moving parts.
And you guys are going to do the show from Wyoming.
No. Again,
and you're just going to go bananas every day, call for people's heads, and then you're going to move back to a mobile home eventually. Is that the plan? That's so confusing.
Again, there's a different guy.
Well, see, Dan Caesar's on vacation, so I haven't had a McKernan update lately.
You wanted boots for this appearance.
Apparently you guys give boots away.
Do you
wear
a lot of cowboy boots?
You know, I think as a kid I had a pair.
Do you really?
I think I did. Like when I was 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's Charlie. That's my buddy right over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, cohorts.
What's up?
We call him Nick.
Why do you call him Nick? From Nick and the Badger?
He was on that show.
Nick and the Badger?
Which one was which?
Producer Joe was
I think
Nick?
I was the Badger.
Yeah,
but
Producer Joe was Nick.
Martin did meet my brother Nick the other day.
Brother Nick.
At the Cardinals game. Doug was there as well.
Yeah, I met him.
And Kat was there and got me two hot dogs from the press box.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I said, where's the wife? He said, fiance. I said, where's Jess? He said, don't bring it up. She's kind of upset. And he left her at home, and I said, this is all. I said, but here's what you do. You say, my brother's having some personal problems.
Yes.
And he wanted me to talk, have a little bit of alone time.
That's his good advice.
And then Brother Nick said, hey, thanks a lot. I don't really have any personal problems.
He probably does, though. There's nothing wrong, though.
Probably
some,
does.
With some brother time. Like, my fiance and her sister hang out all the time. I don't get mad that I'm not invited.
In fact, you're glad you're not invited.
It's nice to have some alone time. So I was giving her that alone time.
How many brothers you got, Buster?
I have two brothers and a sister.
Two. Okay.
So I do radio at KTRS. I don't know if you guys have heard. I'm up
the
against
Big 550.
Thank you. Up against Big 550, baby. Up against Frank. And I'm thinking some days, boy, what are we doing? What are we, you know, we don't have a great segment today. And I was flipping around today, some station in any market, doesn't matter where. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They were ranking the top Beatles. And I said, you know, we can do better than that. So I'm actually encouraged.
These are the questions that they asked me.
How about the fact that Doug said Ringo number two?
We were surprised by that. We were taken aback.
I think that's just a hot take to get the phones ringing. You know, you say that and then people are fired up and there's a guy online one. Yeah, I saw the Beatles in 64, Doug. And so good to be here. I grew up watching Doug on TV. This is an honor. It was either Ed McCauley
or
you
did not.
You wore the vest all the time.
No. You're thinking of Tim Van Gelder, man?
No, that's Ali Rahman.
No, the other guy. Oh, Paul Alexander.
He was way before me, too.
Is that right?
Yes.
I was actually introduced to Doug years ago when I was a college student. True story. Do you remember that?
I'm
a friend of a friend brought me down there and said, Martin wants to get into the business. And Doug, this is probably 1989. And he said, oh, don't do it. Whatever you know.
It was good advice.
Yeah, and then I move here in 97. One of the first people I meet is Doug. I'm like, hey, Doug, I remember we met. And he said, I told you, don't do it. This business is dead. Dead as a doornail. Yes.
You didn't listen to me either,
still
did you?
Dead. Business is still dead, according to Doug.
Why don't you take your own advice, Doug?
I've been trying.
For 30 years?
Yeah, I can't get another gig. I've got no real job skills. I can type. That's about it. I'd make somebody a good secretary.
Good point.
It's so good to see it in the same studio. It's all happening, Charlie. It's all happening right before our very eyes.
I kind of see him all the time.
Yeah. You don't see us.
I read about you guys all the time. Boy, that Dan Caesar likes to write about you. Man.
Well, he's got to write about something every Friday.
Well, Slayton can only do so many things.
Right.
A lot of Joe Buck takes. A
lot of joke Buck, yeah. So the reason I'm here, guys, I came by not only to congratulate you. This is exciting.
Thank you. The boots.
The move,
you
wanted the boots in Wyoming. What is it, 5'9 to the Lesbo now?
That's
you're
correct.
Right over, you're going to...
Janie doesn't know that, but now it's been announced.
Maybe the Lesbo.
Maybe you could... Or just rotate it, depending on who's... If Jennings, it's 5'9 to the foot when Jay's there, right? Just mix it up.
5'9 to the foot. Now, that's something we could
We could maybe
market.
Really market that.
Yeah. That'd be something different.
There's a lot. The Goodfeet people probably sponsor.
They'd be all over the station.
Just think sponsorship, Tim.
They'd be, trust
me, I do. What
you
guys are thinking.
So you have the thing on Thursday, and it's you, Jim Thomas, and Randy Carricker, and it's at Patios, and you get tickets at Eventbrite. It is Rams Park Unplugged on Thursday, September 1st. Charlie, that's this Thursday.
Sure.
To you.
Yeah, short notice. So the whole idea of this, so Jim Thomas and I, really the last night that the Rams existed in St. Louis was the Houston vote. And the end of that night, at about 12:30, 1 o'clock, Jim Thomas and I are in the lobby of the hotel where it all went down, having a few cocktails. And just, at that point, who gives a crap about anything? It's all over. And Demoff walked over to us at like 12:30 in the morning. And we both said, oh, what the hell does he want? And it was a really candid conversation. And I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted. And it just kind of got Jim. And I basically, the first thing I said to him was, why so crappy? Although I didn't use the word crappy. I said, why not have some class ever, you know? And he kind of, he's always awkward and sheepish. And he said, I'm sure there's many things we all could have done. I said, no, but Kevin, you didn't have to. Just trumpet L.A. And that's all it had to be. And so Jim and I were kind of, and then he talked and, you know, lied, because that's what he does. But I'll end up swearing on your radio
Do
station.
Do it. Watch fine. It.
Well, you guys are leaving anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
But, and then Jim and I sat and talked for a long time after the Demoff lies were done for good. And said, we got to do an event where we can tell all the stories. We're really, and Jim knows all of them. And so we've been trying to do this for months, finally. And then the owner at Patio's, like a couple weeks ago, said, I want to do something for Officer Flamian. the Baldwin police officer. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of events going on. So he talked to some people, and they said, why not do it? There's a lot of events for him, which is most noteworthy and, you know, notable. But he learned more about Responder Rescue, which is a group, he said, that basically, you've heard of Backstoppers. Responder Rescue doesn't get as much publicity. It's first responders that are injured. And it could be EMT, it could be ambulance. There's a lot of people who have tragic situations. So he said, can we do something short notice? I said, well, I've got an idea that I've always wanted to do. It involves Jim Thomas, because he's Mr. Ram. Not that he wants to be called that. And then I said, Randy Carrico has kind of become, I think, the face of the angry fan. He's kind of become the voice, I think, of people who are just pissed. So I said, you got to have him. And there's plenty of people. You could have Bernie, you could have Frank. We could do another one of these at some point. So we started with that. And then Bob Wallace, who's been an executive for right. Bill Bidwell and then for the Rams, he tweets and says, I should be on this panel. So I called him and I said, you're drawing an NFL pension. I'm sure it's some good. I said, you really want to be part of what I consider to be a roast of the Rams. And they're certainly worthy of a roast. And Bob said, I got more stories than you guys. So I said, come on down. So that was just kind of the idea.
That's from the inside there.
Yeah. So he worked for Bill Bidwell. He worked for Stan Kroenke. He's seen Stan. He knows he actually is a human being. He lives. You know, when Bob left the building is when Doogie Howser arrived. When Demoff got hired, that's when Bob said, I'm out of here. So the idea.
Was that a cause and effect?
Oh, yeah, I think absolutely. Because Bob kind of ran the building because John Shaw was in L.A., and he ran the building. Not the football, but the business side of it. So long story short, we said, can we do it on short notice, have an event? Basically, PG-13. I don't know how you advertise that and say we want it to be a little bit blue and material, but, you know, not over the top like this thing. But so it's this Thursday. Cardinals are off. It's kind of a dead sports night. If you want, we'll put the Rams preseason game number 4 on in one of the TVs so you can see Jared Goff fumble. And then we're going to do a Rams kind of monologue, then interview Jim a little bit, and we're going to have topics. And one of the topics will be, did St. Louis drop the ball? You know, looking back, and maybe Bob gives us some insight on that. Because that night in Houston, I said to Kevin, I said, this was always going to happen. Don't lie. This was always. And he said, if you look back, this is distracting. Mike Lee is on hold. My God.
That's always the case. That's always the case.
Just like the Fox 2 Sports office.
It's like the static. It's always there.
But Kevin said, if you in St. Louis want to blame anybody, you should really blame Kitty Ratliff. And she runs the dome, basically. He
said,
if
now,
you
who go said back, this? Demoff
said it that night. And I said, so. I said, but I think it's disingenuous, Kevin, because you guys were just waiting for that opening. You needed the opening, which was the arbitration. And you forget, the ruling was, what, $700 million that they asked for or whatever. But with that ruling, Stan also said, I won't extend the lease. So, I mean, it killed the deal right there. If you ever said, hey, we'll do $700, we're going to do it, $700 million. We're going to make it perfect, even though your team's not perfect. He wasn't going to extend the lease, so it was a non-starter. But he had said that, so I want to get into a little bit. Hey, did St. Louis, did Mayor Slay and others kind of say, oh, they'll never leave. Oh, they'll never. I think there was a little bit of that. So some serious mixed in with a lot of mockery.
Interesting. Now, that part intrigues me. Now, first off, so this is all over. You had the moment where Stan's on the stage, and you and Frank are asking questions, and Stan says to Frank, do we have the drop plowhawk?
Hello, Frank.
Oh, not that one.
No, that's the one that really gets Doug upset if we have the Stan saying hello to Frank. Do we have that?
Hello, Frank. How are you?
No, that's the guy from the Shane Company.
Oh, that's right.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business.
Hi, Frank. It's been a while, hasn't it? You still got that press box?
Frank, how are you today?
Right there.
Oh, yeah. What an ass. I mean, you know, Frank wanted to kill him, and Frank's the nicest guy in the world.
And then you ask a question, and then I don't know if you saw it as you were asking the question, but Goodell's like smirking at you. While you're asking a question, and that's what pissed me off. Do you remember that?
I've heard that.
Or you zoned in on.
You know how I get, and sometimes
steamer.
I get really.
Yeah, Lenny Bruce.
I just get really ticked off, and like I just want to punch somebody, and it's not very often. But that was one of those nights, and I'm like, there is no justice. You can't run up there and, you know, rip off his wig. I don't know. What can you do?
You think it's a wig?
I do, absolutely. And people around him say he's very sensitive to that topic.
Oh, well, then that's what we ought to...
Well, then, we'll just, right, let's focus on that. Are you new? Yeah. No, but so I was just really angry, and I'm like, I'm trying to articulate it, but I was still just so mad. I don't even know if I said it the way I wanted to. And the weird... So I never saw the video. I heard people say that.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, later that night, we're doing live reports, and Jim Hill, who's been at...
Yeah, KCBS in LA.
Longer than Doug's been here. I mean, he is... Mm-hmm. And the man is a legend that kind of looks like Shaft. And he has not changed his look. He looks great for 40 years. So we're in a commercial break. You know, it's one of those teases. I say, and coming up next, you know, my hot take, whatever. So we go to the break. He's in a break. And he's a foot away. And he said, hey, brother, I know you're hurting right now. You'll get over it. And I said, no, you don't understand. I said, I'm not hurting. Yeah, I don't care. I honestly, I mean, the fact they left, they're a bunch of clowns. And I said, I am just pissed as all get out about how it played out and how the league is just so corrupt and so soulless. And I said, I'm over. Like, I think he thought I was going to cry that the Rams had left. He thought I was so much because he heard me ask the question earlier. And I said, Jim, I can, because I've met him before. And I said, I'm fine. He said, I know, brother. Once the healing begins, you'll be okay. And I'm like, it's the Rams, you know? I'm going to be fine. So there's all these stories, and a lot of it was Kevin that night. I think deep down he felt awful, and he liked Jim, and he liked me, and he knew he'd done everybody dirty. So he came over to talk to us. We didn't want to talk to him.
So that's the thing. So the press conference was like at 8 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken.
So Stan and Artis and the whole, they had a whole crew. They all went out to dinner.
The dinner with Jerry Jones.
So this is
so now. So he's coming back to the hotel?
So we're at the hotel where they're staying. So it was the ghost of Malibu, Stan, I call him, or Enos, whatever you call him. And they're all walking in. And I see Artis, and he knows us. But and I get it. I mean, he's got to be loyal to the boss. So there's a whole group of them, the Stan group, walking in. And Kevin looked over and saw Jim, Thomas, and I sitting there and made a beeline for us. And I said, oh, this ought to be good. But we talked about a lot of stuff, and then, I mean, I think some
I'm surprised he came over to you guys. I really am.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say if there's such a thing as slight respect for doing that, I would say so. But I can also tell you, you know, my boss, Spencer, would have breakfast or lunch with Kevin for years, I think once a month, and I don't think he minds me telling that. So I said, since they left, since it went down, because they had been friendly and cut deals, you know, to do the preseason and other events and coaches' shows, hasn't heard word one. And I don't know if that's guilt or if it's liability or what, but I mean, I think he could even just shoot a note. Sorry about how everything played out. Thanks for your French. Anything. If you had any class at all, you could do that in 2 seconds. So there is bitterness, but there's also going to be a lot of mockery, and maybe we'll rub some feet. So.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
I didn't know Jenny was going to make it.
No, I'm coming.
Okay. Well, my hope is that, you know, your lemmings, and I know they're always on their keyboards anyway.
They are. You want to see the text?
Probably Justin in Columbia is on there right about now, and so get on the keyboard. I don't know how the internet works. Chuck's wearing his lemming shirt.
He is. He's a good lemming. Mm-hmm.
It almost fits.
Oh,
so it's a Chris Pelican.
You got to see those reactions. That's not easy to do.
So get on your keyboard, Eventbrite, and that's Brite.com, and it's really simple. You go there, and then you search the event. You just type in Rams Park Unplugged, which I guess the park itself now is unplugged. And so you go on there and just click on it, and we're trying to get it's like when you invite your friends to your wedding, you know, and they say, oh, I'll be there, and you're the best man, and the day before the wedding, hey, my fiance says you never respond. I'm like, oh, I'll be there, you know. So I need people to actually go online and do it. It's patios, it's cash bar, it's gonna be a pretty scaled back event.
More interested in the event now that I'm hearing you talk about this, because these are some things I didn't know about. Like the Demoff conversation that night does surprise me, but I knew that you chased him down. But he was walking out of the room.
Well, that was the initial leaving the
press
conference.
And I didn't know if that's what you were talking about. This was separate.
No, this was late at night, and Jim will tell you about it too, and just trying. And we got into, I said, so what's the deal? Will Gruben come work for you guys? Is that the plan? And he's like, no. I mean, at this point, I really didn't care. And I'd had a few Jack and Coke. I really didn't care. So we were saying anything and everything. And he talked about the vote, how the first round it went through.
Well, how do you explain that? That fascinates me more than anything.
And I said, what did you think was going to happen? Coming down here, you got on a plane. What did you really think was going to happen? And he said, I honestly thought we had a 50-50 shot. He said, I didn't think for sure it was going to happen, which...
That's not consistent with what he told me about 5 days earlier on the phone from New York City.
Now, people in Rams Park have said there were meetings throughout the year where he said, brace yourselves, we may have to do this again, where he would meet with staff and say, just, we don't know if this is going to happen or not. So I think maybe even over his head, the Stan and Goodell conversation, maybe he and Jerry, the three of them, like, we'll ram this through, don't you worry.
He told me that if it was going to happen, it was going to be them and the Chargers. That's the way that it laid out. I'm fascinated by, not to take it down, but I'm curious because you're very close to the thing and have your opinion on it. What the hell is going to happen in San Diego? Do you think that they will actually move up there and be Stanley Steemer's batch?
I just don't think Spanos wants to do that.
I know, exactly. But then what's his choice going to be? Have you seen the recent polling on that thing? It's not even close.
Right, and everybody knew that. But that's the thing about the NFL, which is this well-run organization, whether you like them or not. I mean, they're a well-run organization in terms of making money and being a business model. And they just butchered this thing. If you're looking at the facts, how we play this out, and we had the silly town hall and all that stuff. If you look at what ended up, Oakland's a disaster. They still might go to Las Vegas or not. San Diego's a mess. And I think Spanos really hates Stan. He'd have to really grin and bear it. You know,
I think the NFL would tell you that they played it just right, that they got exactly what they wanted. They're going to get the stadium they wanted in L.A.
Right, you were concerned about Oakland. If you were truly concerned about Oakland and San Diego, this is a disaster. But I guess maybe they don't
want to care. They don't. They'll deal with that later. They got what they wanted. They got the Rams back to L.A. with a $2 billion stadium where they can play Super Bowls. I think they'll come up with money to help the Chargers pay for whatever they need. They're not going to vacate that market. And whatever happens to Oakland, it happens.
Yeah, and I was told all along, nobody wanted Mark Davis in Oakland, in L.A., and nobody wanted the Raiders brand. They were afraid of that whole gang mentality. The NFL did not want that back in L.A. because it's such a strong, gang tie-in. But in San Diego, you're right, maybe now because St. Louis, they had the nuclear war here, maybe they say, let's fix this. Let's do whatever we got to do.
No, they will. Suddenly, the NFL will say, you know what? We found another $500 million we can shovel to San Diego to help make that stadium where you stay right where you're at.
And that's very possible.
That'll happen.
Also, I don't think the NFL looks as bad nationally as we all think they are and know locally.
Oh, nobody cares. Oh, nobody cares.
But that's my whole point, is that if you're a football fan across the country, you don't really know what went down in St. Louis. And so the narrative is, oh, baseball town.
Right.
Didn't go to the games, which everybody knows is false. The team was horrible. But I don't really think the average football fan across the country knows really what happened.
Which is why it's going to take a 30 for 30 or a book of some kind to really tell the story.
And I think Jim may write a book at some point. You know, interesting, in Canton, we were there for the Orlando Pace thing. It's a Friday night. We're staying in Akron. And I know Chuck calls it God's country, but it's kind of – we're staying in Akron, okay? Yeah. We're like 40 minutes from the Hall of Fame. I've got a friend from Milwaukee LeBron. Who covers Brett Favre. And I got another friend from college that lives in Cleveland. So the three of us go out to dinner. But it's like 10 o'clock because we just got finished. Local news, Tim. You're a big fan. We wrap up our work. We're at this steakhouse. And I look over 20 feet away from me. And it's Mike Martz sitting by himself, sitting at a table. And I walked over, which sounds bad sitting by himself. But he said, Marty, is that you? And I'm like, yeah, it is.
I like
that. He had flown a long day of travel from San Diego. And he was sitting. And that's a conversation I don't think I can share yet. But he's unbelievable on the topic of Stan, Fisher, the move. And again, I'm not going to violate our conversation.
Right.
But he did say, Marty, one day I'm going to write a book about Rams Park. And I said, oh, my God, you have to.
He said,
but they can't publish it till I'm dead because everybody will get sued. I'm like, that's the book. Maybe if we have a little success with this one, maybe we do like an evening with Mike Martz in November
or something.
Oh, wouldn't
that be great?
On Martz Unplugged.
Yeah.
And so there's so many stories to tell. I think, and he has two kids. Martz still has two kids that live here. So I think he's more sympathetic to St. Louis, I have no doubt, than to the Rams franchise. Mm-hmm. I think he feels closer to the city of St. Louis than he does to the Rams franchise. I have no doubt after talking to him that night.
People texting and asking if this event will be recorded and podcast ready, sir.
I don't think so, maybe for legal reasons. It's funny because you can go online and see who buys tickets. Or my wife will say, do you know a so-and-so? And I'm like, no. And I go, boy, he sounds like an attorney, though. I wonder if Kevin's sending somebody. But listen, it's all fair game at this point. So
Well, why would you be worried about that?
I'm half kidding, Doug.
But you have the right to say just about anything.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we're not going to slander anybody. I'll probably later at night,
but
I will.
But they've been so brazen with a few. Like, we had somebody text into the show, and then I got the name and then got the exact, source on it, saying that Kara Henderson, who then became Kara Henderson Sneed, said, I guess it was last February, I'm leaving my job. We're moving to L.A., and this person is a listener. His wife was the one that worked with her and said, yeah, it was just like really common knowledge that that's what they were doing, and they didn't even try and hide it.
And somebody else in their building, they lived in Clayton, ran into the kid, and it's Les's son would have been in eighth grade last year, and typical St. Louis said, oh, where are you going to high school today? What school are you going to pick? And he said, oh, I'm going to school in Los Angeles. We're moving next year. And they were like, what? So was the fix always in? I believe all of that, but I think whether it was Fisher or Sneed or Kevin, I think they always believed it was happening. I just don't think they knew 1,000%.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think they were walking around going, all right, let's get through this year. Sneed even said, well, but Todd Gurley, I mean, he'll be good in 2016, I'm sure. And we're like, what? Remember that? He said, he'll be good next year. And we're like, well, what's next year? The big L.A. arrival. Right. So I think they were always planning that way. But I know some people pretty high up, and they didn't know for sure that it was going to be
why
done.
Do you
I think they counted on it happening.
Here's the thing throughout the whole, because I get them moving. I get them moving. I understand that whole part of it. Like you, I have no idea why they needed to piss on St. Louis on the way out, because I do believe now, and I didn't at the time, so I was wrong, that it was already determined. I don't know how you can't view it that way now with the benefit of hindsight, of course. And I get why Kroenke played it the way he did. If anything, that was the smart way to play it. He never said anything. But what the hell was Demoff doing saying the things that he said that he's on the record on our station, on 101? I don't know if he did any television where he said crap that can be held against him. I mean, there's a legitimate suit going against them. Now, they may try to dismiss it and act like it is. It's legitimate, and they've hired one of the biggest law firms in the world to defend themselves against this thing. That's real. I'm firsthand on that. That is real. And that's not to say it'll ever turn into anything, but it is real. And Kroenke's got nothing to hide from on that, but it's Demoff's statements that are going to do them a lot of injustice on their defense.
And I would think the people that would want to sue and for some decent dollars would be the corporate dollars that said, you know what, you came to us and said, hey, yes, we're fully invested in this market. We want all of our fans to have a great experience and yell SAC together. Those people that spent maybe $100,000 to buy suites and buy marketing rights based on, hey, we're going to lock in for the long term with you guys based on what Kevin said. I don't know if he's that duplicitous, that soulless, or if he just forgot. If you start telling so many lies, maybe you just get confused.
I think he also thinks he's too smart for everybody else, that he can talk his way around any question that comes up.
Well, he runs a good franchise. You got to give him that.
Boy, they, yeah. I mean, it's not like he got his job because of his father or anything.
Right.
Who are you talking about?
Kevin.
Oh,
yeah, oh you, Kevin. Sorry. That's a little close to home there.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is there's going to be some roasting material, but there is some and a lot of Q&A, which normally that's kind of lame. Oh, Q&A, but I think there's going to be people there. Lois, the sign lady, said she's bringing all her signs.
Lois will be there. She was in the Rams rules video.
Yes, she may have been. Maybe she'll bring some of the rules with her.
I think she slow clapped it out.
I think you're right, Chuckles.
You know the people that I think could tell you, if one day unplugged, like Chris Long and James Laurinaitis, I think they would tell you clown show it was, too. There's a famous Jim Thomas was doing a story one time, and again, at this point, I think you can say just about anything. Nobody cares. Jim was doing a story for the Sporting News about most overrated coach, and a lot of times you see those polls in the SI or Sporting News, and they get random players to. So he's just walking around the locker room talking to a couple guys, and he's at the locker next to Chris Long, and he's like, poll, and as Jim is asking, most overrated NFL coach, and Chris Long leans over and says, gotta be Spagnuolo, doesn't it? I mean, and I'm like, there's a guy who's in on it, right? Who gets what we'd all put up with. So if it goes well, we'll do another one. If not, we'll come back to 590, the Rhino, or whatever you guys end up
doing. It's going
to
be the Lesbo. I like
rhino.
That idea.
If we could do an evening with Mart, and he and I did not end well.
I remember that. And remember on the show, he came on and he goes, Martin, you hurt me.
Hurt my family, is what he famously told me.
It was me and the cat and Martin, and and all of a sudden, me and the cat just kind of backed away, like the Sotoguchi interview, and we're going, wow, Martin and Mark are going to have a moment. Or Chris Carpenter.
How'd you hurt his family?
Oh, by not. You know, we had become pretty good friends, and I tell the story. My wife, it was our, I think it was our first official date. We'd met once before, and so I called Kim up, and I said, oh, we can go out this Friday, but I got an event I need to go to. And I said, we're going to a party at Mike Martz's house. She said, oh, that's great. Now, who's that? And she's not a sports fan at all. So we walk into Mike Martz's house, and I said, oh, my God, it's Stan Musial over there. And she said, no, I've heard of Stan. And I said, that's Peter King over there. And I'm like, going, this is the greatest party ever. But, you know, then I think doing radio, Tim dragged me down and made me say some terrible things.
Sure. Exactly right.
I think Mike's wife heard Foot Fetish Friday or the Would You List, got really offended. And
I
think just getting critical. Things got crazy out there. But I've been at a number of Isaac Bruce events with him the last couple of years. We just sat there and talked for a while.
How's he doing?
He's good.
Are you losing? Because I feel like his end in the game was much quicker than he wanted it to be. And bizarre at the end, moving from, three different organizations? Bears, Lions, and 49ers?
Yeah. I think he would tell you, as a head coach, he's baffled that you wouldn't get another shot. With all these bums that get chances to be head coaches, I think he feels he might have been blackballed a little bit. And maybe how things went down here may have been part of that. But, again, if he would do it, we'll make that a big steak dinner, martini night.
Oh, my.
He would be great. So I want the Lemmings to come out on. You should come. You love this stuff.
I have to tell you, you're really selling me on this thing. This is good entertainment. It's Rams Park Unplugged on Thursday. This Thursday at Patio's, and you can get tickets at Eventbrite.com. And Doug, it's B-R-I-T-E.
I don't care for the spelling, but we'll get to it.
I know your audience isn't that bright, but they can spell it wrong. They're gonna if they spell it wrong, they'll get it right. What happens? We get free donuts with that? Or
that's the hot take, Bell.
Yeah. That's the hot.
You
take?
Need one of those at the Big 550.
Wow, hot take. So, guys, it's great to see you, and I hope to see the Lemmings on Thursday. What do they drink? Jello shots, your guys?
I think more
people?
Jello shots. More
probably
jello
like
shots.
Purple Hooters and things.
Mad Dog.
Now, are you going to have the final Bears preseason game on? Because that's kind of counter-programming against the home of the Bears preseason.
Oh, well, sure. We'll
Charlie's really pushing this Bears thing.
We'll
for
have it
so
on
you know,
in the
I want
corner.
You to know that.
I'm a company guy.
And that's another one. And Spencer, our boss, is going to be there that night because I may do a little Q&A in the audience. He did deals with them for 21 years. The Bears thing, by the way, people have made fun of, which I get, because the Bears have no sex appeal. There's nothing interesting about them right now. Really wanted to have the Chiefs just because it was the first time. And
Doug got in there.
Yes, well, Spencer Chiefs. Called over there, and the station that runs the Chiefs broadcast, kind of like we always were the Rams station, is a Meredith station. They said, well, if we're doing business with anybody, it's going to be Channel 4. Spencer said, we're talking one day at work. He said, what do you think about the Packers? I said, it'd be kind of cool, kind of novel, but at least they're a fun franchise. And that dragged out for a while. The guy said, let me get back. And finally the Bears said, because he had a call into them, they were the first one to say, hey, let's do this. I think the Packers would have been more fun. And they're on in like 12 states. So I think the idea was just, let's have some football. Unfortunately, watching the Bears reminds me of the Rams, so it's been kind of disheartening.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to this. I really am. This is intriguing because there's some things you've been saying here about what took place.
And maybe
down
we'll
there in
shoot it after. We'll probably shoot it.
Tim does. Tim will shoot on down.
Oh yeah.
Oh duh.
Do you anticipate a pony?
Oh, it'll be a. This is going to be a pony show.
Okay.
This is going to be
that
a
off,
pony
Plowhawk.
Show. Okay.
That, snag that. Where the Plowhawk? Have you met the Plowhawk?
Is that the guy that's always smoking pot?
Yeah. That's allegedly.
You can use that for the open on the show. See.
The guy next to him is mad as hell.
There's the Plowhawk.
What's up, Martin?
Good
how
to
you
see
doing,
the
bud?
I love the Plowhawk.
Thank you, buddy.
There he is.
Is that a Lemming comment?
Yeah,
again, Doug, congrats on the move doing politics. I think it'll be a good fit.
He's very fair and balanced right down the middle.
Absolutely. At least
he's a regular Sean Hannity doing sports radio.
Somebody sees what's going on out there.
So next,
you talk politics on your show?
A little bit.
Probably don't want to, do you?
Well, not really. And I don't care enough is the honest answer. If Trump says something ridiculous, which does happen, Doug, we'll joke about it.
Hillary doesn't?
And if Hillary says
something... Here we go, Martin.
If Hillary
here
would say
go,
anything,
here we go.
Hillary won't talk.
And if Hillary says something ridiculous, we'll make fun of that, too. I like to just make fun of everything, if possible. And when in doubt... I'll be begging for calls, guy. And I have a new addition to the list. We used to do this. It was begging for calls, guy, which was based on Chops Ritter. Poor guy. I mean, we were driving in at 5:30 in the morning, so the cards took another one. 969 KTR, and then poor guy, you're begging for calls, right? And then stumbles into opinion, guy. We would do that. We'd be like, so the cards bullpen not real good, and then. In fact, it's terrible. This bullpen is... And he would stumble into the opinion. An angry guy was based on Bob Fesco, of course. You just scream about everything. Where's the coffee? And you just start screaming. But the new one is a lot to get to, guy. And I find myself doing it.
That is your thing.
I'm
Martin,
guilty
Martin,
of it.
Martin mimics this guy a lot at the Two Fox.
I'm guilty of a lot to... Because I'll say, you come on the show, and I'm like, you're 3 hours staring you in the face, and well, we're going to I got to get to this Hillary thing. I got to get to this. If we have time, maybe in the third hour, I'll get to that. And then you realize there's nothing before that. When you say, all right, we've got a lot. Have you heard about this thing that's happening in Washington, D.C. with the local zoo there? If we have time, we'll get to
it's
that.
It's just a giant tease.
Yeah, and if maybe in the second hour, I'll get to this thing happening over in Shrewsbury if I have to. And they talk for like 10 minutes, like, all right, we got to take a quick break. I'm like, you didn't do anything. I do that a lot of days. We got a lot to get to.
A lot to get to, guys. It is this Thursday night, Charlie. It's eventbrite.com.
B-R-I-T-E. I want Chuck to be there, except he's working.
He'll be anchor
well,
for him?
Well, because we have the Bears,
we'll be on late.
Ooh, what time is this thing,
Well,
Martin?
Door's 6:30, and then basically just open bar for a while. Mm-hmm. And Chris Doerr, the owner there, is donating all of his profits. Yeah. Slew high. How about that?
Of course he is.
They acknowledge him. And the event will begin roughly at 7:30, and we'll start with a little monologue and some jokes.
I am looking forward to this. I really am. It's Rams Park Unplugged on Thursday, this Thursday, at Patios. Get tickets at Eventbrite.com. Martin Kilcoin in studio. Martin, great to see you again.
Great to see you guys. This reminds me, we had Dan.
What's this crowd? Wow. I've never heard a crowd like this. All the bells, Charlie.
Well, these are all, and these just happen to be unemployed carpenters across the street at the Union Hall clapping. Years ago, Dan Patrick was on with Maurice Drummond and I, and we had about a 30-minute interview. It was great. We're going really well. We're like, this is the coolest thing we've ever had. And he finally said, don't you guys have any commercials?
That's what Costa
you remember,
said.
Do you remember, I was listening to that interview. Do you remember the best line from Dan Patrick to Mo Drummond during that interview?
Still on scholarship.
He said, Maurice Drummond. Still on scholarship.
Guys, great to see you. We'll see you Thursday
Thank
night.
You, Martin.
Hi, thank
there
you, Martin.
Is Martin Kilcoin. Thursday night, it's at Patios, Eventbrite, Brite.com for this event. Martin, our DraftKings guest of the day, in studio here on the Gateway Buick GMC studio, stopping by, making a glorious return to this award-winning show here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug, DraftKings is where you can play daily fantasy, and you can do so and enter the code 920. DraftKings, the destination for one-week fantasy football. Use code 920 and play free with your first deposit. That's 920 to play free for your share of the $5 million in total prizes in this week one contest at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. My belief is, I agree, because some people are texting going, nobody around the country cares, and I agree with that for what Charlie just laid out as the reasoning on the Rams thing, but I feel like there's a story there that if told properly, and if somebody will go on the record, such as a Mike Martz, sounds like Martin had a hell of a conversation. Are you aware of that conversation? Did he tell you what went on there? I'll have to ask you in the commercial break, since it was an off-the-record conversation. Would go on the record and talk about it, the house of cards falls. And I just, at this point, believe that, and I think most in our audience believe that there is a bunch of crap that went on. And like I said, when it was going on, I'm just like, yeah, I just don't think that's the case. And I blamed St. Louis much more than I blamed the NFL or the Rams themselves. And I do think St. Louis has blood on its hands. But now, 9 months removed from the process, it seems like it was already done. But then I ask what the hell was going on with the task force. I wonder about that whole part of it as well. So I'm looking forward to this event. Again, it's this Thursday at Patio's. Martin, Jim Thomas, Randy Carricker. Bob Wallace. The Bob Wallace part's actually pretty big.
I think these kind of things make us all feel better about ourselves and knowing that it was cooked and that we had no chance. But again, from their perspective, from the Rams' perspective, they're going to say, well, the lease ran out. We were allowed to leave. We didn't like the stadium. We hated the stadium. Our crowds were horrible at the end.
But that's Martin's point was have some class. You don't have to trash St. Louis on the way out. I totally agree with you.
The Rams have no class.
Right.
I mean, we knew that long
everybody
ago.
Involved, I lost respect for almost everybody in that organization. However, I agree with what you said. It's unfortunate, but they did have legal means to leave, and that's the bad thing. But they also had the perfect recipe. They had the owner that really wanted to leave.
Had they had any class, they would have just said behind the scenes maybe to someone, don't even bother putting together a stadium. Don't spend the millions of dollars trying to convince us to stay, because we're not going to do it. Just don't even try, because it cost the city of St. Louis a lot of money.
But they had to follow the faux NFL guidelines. They had to have the dog and pony show. They had to keep up appearances.
I guess they had to. I don't know why they had to if they were going to move anyway. I don't know why they had to
again,
keep up appearances.
Because nationally, it looks like they did try to stay. You know what I'm saying? When they have the town hall meetings, ESPN and all the big sports networks all talked about those meetings. It looked like the NFL did what they were supposed to do. Again, if you don't really know the story.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why they would care about looking like doing what they were supposed to do. They could have just come out and said, we're going to move this franchise. It's struggling in St. Louis. It's not drawing fans. The lease is dead. We got the second largest market in America open. We're going to move it. And for most football fans, they would have said, yeah, that makes sense. Sure. Without going through the whole dog and pony show.
No, I agree with you. But they have those guidelines. We know they are not etched in stone at all. So they had to pretend to the national audience like they gave St. Louis and all these markets a fair shot.
Yeah. I suppose. I don't know why they even have the guidelines anymore. they ought to take the guidelines.
The thing that's going to really fascinate me, and I understand, Doug, I know your position on it, which is the NFL is just going to get San Diego a stadium. And if that happens, God bless America. That's one that, to me, yes, the NFL can run things, but are they above the government? Because that is law. And so how all of a sudden they're just going to build a stadium for San Diego and say, well, they're going to do that. Okay, but then what that does is it sets a precedent because there are some not San Diegos, and really what else is San Diego in the United States as far as city-to-city comparisons, whether it would be Charlotte, which is one of the theories as to why Jerry Richardson was so pro-St. Louis, whether it be Nashville. I still don't understand how New Orleans doesn't. But maybe it would be bad politics to say, hey, this New Orleans thing isn't really that great of a situation. That was a crappy building when we were there for the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. much less, you know, 15 years later. So my whole premise being, I'm just curious how they're going to remedy that situation because they can't do anything about the fact that the legislation is not going to pass. So then at that point, what will they do with the San Diego situation? I'm not saying that I think the San Diego Chargers are moving to St. Louis. I'm not saying that. I'm just curious how they're going to solve that one. The Las Vegas, Oakland thing, that can, quote, solve that one. But the Charger thing, unless, you know, Spanos just goes, okay, I'm going to move up there and be with Kroenke. But I just am not 100% sure that that's going to happen. But if it doubles his franchise's value and he goes, screw it, I tried my best, I don't want to do it, I don't know. I'm curious how that one's going to be solved. We got a break. James Carville's going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock. I am looking forward to this. The political strategist and commentator plus author of We're Still Right, They're Still Wrong, The Democrats' Case for 2016. For the record, I think he is the second liberal guest we've had on the show versus about 10 conservative guests. But, Charlie, that won't stop the hate text coming in fast and furious with a number of misspellings starting around 9:02. You can email in themorningafter@insidestl.com, themorningafter@insidestl.com. Email of the day, a pair of tickets to Prophets of Rage this Sunday night, September 4th, at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Get tickets at livenation.com. Do you know anything about Burley Cutlery, Doug? Because I know they sponsor the Cuts of the Week.
Well, I know one thing. And
spin
that's
us the yarn.
Slogan. The slogan is generally chop, chop, cheeky.
Sure.
You're in the kitchen. You pull out a knife. You say, I'd like to cut this watermelon.
Right.
Oh, I'd like to maybe later cut a steak. Well, I can't do it. The knife is too dull. I guess I'll throw the... Don't throw the knife away.
Nice.
What you do is you take it, and you take it to Bertarelli Cutlery. Your little knives at home, the big steak knives, or if you're a restaurant, if you're a big cafeteria, if you're a hotel, this is what they do. They don't simply throw the knives away. They take them to Bertarelli Cutlery right there on Marconi on the Hill. That's what they do. They also sell fine equipment for the domestic and the professional kitchen. All your favorite kitchen tools, gadgets, and gizmos from the names you love and trust. We're talking quality products, and we're talking quality prices. They also have free local delivery. So if you how am I going to get the knife?
So right.
I can't get back down there.
It's 50 bucks.
It's nothing.
What?
I can't get back down there.
Wait.
They'll bring it. It's free local delivery. And there's no minimum order. They sharpen and they service knives, slicer blades, mixers, and so much more. And they service all major brands of food prep equipment, not just knives, but anything that you're using in the kitchen. They will service it or they will sell it to you. No business too big or too small for their family service. That's Bertarelli Cutlery. And if you mention us, you receive one free knife sharpening with a $5 in-store purchase. All you got to do, you buy anything for $5 or more, and you get $5 off.
There it is. Bertarelli Cutlery, sponsor of the Cuts of the Week. James mm-hmm. Carville joining us coming up at 9 o'clock. Your emails, 9:45. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After, CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, inside STL.com, live. Gateway, Buick, GMC Studios.